call the October 18th County Council meeting to order. First thing will be approval of the agenda. Mr. Baker, any changes?
We do have one suggested change under executive session. We do not need the items job applicants qualifications, personnel, or land acquisition.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
You got it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mr. Cole. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. In our packet on Friday, you got the minutes of the October 11th meeting. Any changes or corrections to those? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Rutt.
Yes, Mr. Vincent, there is a card from Sussex Tech. Dear Sussex County Council, we would like to say thank you for helping us reach our goal of purchasing the Raven Tunnel. Your donation has allowed our students to enjoy the tunnel at each home game. We hope that you come out and see it. Again, thank you, the Raven Tunnel Committee. That's the only correspondence.
Anyone from council have correspondence? Mr. Baker.
The first item is a proclamation. This was a request from the University of Delaware proclaiming October 20th as a conflict resolution day in Sussex County. And I'll just briefly read through it. Whereas in 2005, in order to increase public awareness about conflict resolution and its benefits, the Association for Conflict Resolution's Board of Directors adopted a resolution designating the third Thursday in October as Conflict Resolution Day. Whereas conflict resolution encompasses mediation, arbitration, facilitation, collaborative decision-making, restorative justice, and other responses to differences. And whereas conflict resolution processes empower individuals, families, communities, organizations, schools, and businesses to foster communication and devise solutions that are acceptable to the needs and interests of all parties involved. And whereas the Delaware Conflict Resolution Network is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to explore opportunities for creating, expanding, and promoting peacemaking strategies for Delawareans. Whereas Delaware Conflict Resolution Network is a collaborative partnership of individuals who are committed to advancing the understanding, availability, and utilization of alternate dispute resolution options through education, public policy, and advocacy. Now, therefore, the Sussex County Council does hereby proclaim October 20th as Conflict Resolution Day in Sussex County and invites all citizens to be aware of the special and vital services provided by the Delaware Conflict Resolution Network.
Anyone hear from?
No.
Okay.
What day is that again?
October 20th.
Okay.
Y'all resolve everything on the 20th now.
Well, no, I just I'll avoid Sam that day, and so we don't have to get at it, right, Sam? It'll be a truce.
A truce.
Only that day, though.
You bring your weight, hand you?
That's the only truce that he knows.
wait flag.
Complete capitulation.
That's right.
Mr. Baker.
Showing how we can all get along.
Thank you. Next item, we have a representative from the Reading Assist Program, Ms. Sally Conan, who asked to explain her program today to the County Council. And if you'd like to come on up, Sally. And
I've heard this is a great program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good morning. My name is Sally Coonan, and I'm the Director of Development and Public Relations and Government Relations for the Reading Assist Institute. There's a packet in front of you that I provided, and there's some materials on the right-hand side that you might want to look at as I go forward. We are a nonprofit organization that was established in 1989 with the purpose of helping children to improve their reading skills. Our mission is to improve the literacy skills of children at risk for reading failure in the state of Delaware. This organization was started by a woman by the name of Ginger Biasato. In your folder, there is a book that she wrote that explains the struggle that she had when she found that her 12-year-old son could not read. and it sort of describes the journey that she went on to find him effective instruction so that he could, in fact, learn to read. As a result of this struggle that she and her family went through, she established this organization so that other families could avoid this type of angst and anxiety and get their children the help that they needed early on in life, because we know that if we can help children early, we can make a huge difference in their lives. Research shows us that 20 to 30% of children will find it difficult to learn how to read. Research tells us that while we are hardwired in our brains to talk and speak and communicate orally, we're not hardwired to read. That reading is, in fact, a skill that is fairly recent, possibly in like the last 1,000 years, as opposed to speaking and communicating orally, which is thousands and thousands of years old. It wasn't until, in fact, like 500 years ago that we had a systematic alphabet system that we could, you know, that we could look at and say, okay, this sound means this and this sound means that, and I put them together, I can make a word, and these words have meaning. So 20 to 30% of kids are going to find this hard to do. According to the National Assessment of Educational Progress, the NAEP, which is given every 2 years, and the most recent results available were in 2009. We're expecting the 2011 scores to be available in November. And this is on the website at the Delaware Department of Education. 27% of Delaware's fourth graders scored below basic. Now, basic is just what you need to get by day to day. Basic isn't going to get you possibly graduated from high school and into college and successful at college. So being below basic is really not, it's really going to hinder your success in life. Furthermore, we can see that in Delaware, and we can see that that backs up the fact, the research that shows that 10% of kids struggle so much in learning how to read that they require intensive, frequent, individualized, often one-on-one instruction to help them to learn to read and be successful in life. And as you can imagine, and I know the question comes up frequently, well, why do you do this? We have teachers, we use our taxes to pay for teachers, and we have professionals and reading specialists, you know, in our schools to do this work. The fact is that even our most talented, most dedicated teachers lack the time and the resources to provide this type of intensity. These children need 45 minutes 3 to 4 times a week. If you have 10% of the kids in your class and you've got 25 children in your classroom, 2 to 3 of them are going to need this type of help. Even the best teacher doesn't have that time or possibly the resources to do this. So here's what we do. We have a program called the Volunteer Tutor Program. It operates in 43 schools in Delaware, and 7 of them are in here in Sussex County. And I'll talk a little bit more about our expansion plans later. But what we do is we recruit volunteers, community members, retired teachers, retired executives, stay-at-home moms. We recruit people who are entrepreneurs who have a dancing school, and they teach dance in the morning, in the afternoon, and tutor in the morning. We recruit them. Then we train them in a 36-hour training class. This is a very intensive class. It teaches them how to teach reading using a phonetic base, which is probably what most of us, how the way most of us learned how to read, learning the sounds and how the sounds look and how the letters look and how they make sounds. It's very multi-sensory, so we're using not just the eyes and the ears, but also touch. We have things that we touch. We use muscle memory, P, so that the muscles remember. We use a variety of these different techniques, and we put these people on teams. We place them in partner schools where they work with the children who've been identified by the school as being most at risk for reading failure. We send testers in. We have our own testers. They use nationally normed tests to determine where the children are in terms of their reading skills. At the end of the year, we retest them to see what kind of growth they've made. In between, our tutors meet with them 3 to 4 times a week, and once a week, they give them a very brief test. I don't know if you're familiar with the term. It's kind of popular right now, but the DIBELS is the Dynamic Indicators of Basic Early Literacy Skills. It's a very quick little test that can tell the tutor where the child is in terms of, okay, here's what I'm doing with this skill. Maybe this child needs work on a different skill. So we monitor them once a week throughout the school year. We work with children mostly K through 3 because we know, again, as I said before, that if we catch them early, we know that we can help them. There's a research study that was out recently, in fact, as early as this past April, that showed that they followed a group of children from kindergarten through high school. And they found that of the kids who dropped out of high school, 88% of them didn't know how to read by the end of third grade. So we can draw a correlation between the fact that a child who's learned to read and is proficient reading by the end of third grade has like a 3 or 4 times better chance of graduating from high school than a child who doesn't. So we feel very confident that working with children in K through 3 will render the greatest results for us. As I said, we're outcomes-based. We do all this testing. Last year, 83% of the children who were in our program showed improvement in reading. Now, granted, some of that improvement was great and some of it was small, but it was improvement. Children who don't show proficiency in 1 year are held over to the next year. We don't just say, okay, well, we tried, never mind, forget it. And we are a statewide initiative. Originally, we were mostly in New Castle County. 3 years ago, we opened up an office and training facility in Milford. And so from there, we have been able to become more involved in Kent and Sussex counties. And currently are serving 35 children in Sussex County. In 7 schools, and if you take a look at the next sheet on your packet, I believe you'll see a list of those schools and the number of children. You'll see that there are 20 tutors, and these are volunteers. When I met with Mrs. Deaver to explain the program to her, and I told her, well, these volunteers, you know, teach these children, and there's no charge to anyone for anything that we do in this program, so the schools don't pay, the parents don't pay, the tutors don't pay. Everything's free. And she said, well, why would people do that? And I said, well, because, you know, they really believe in it. They believe that literacy is the key to success in life. Some of them have their own issues. Some of them have children who struggle to read. Some of them had brothers. I know I have a brother who's dyslexic. And so these 20 tutors in Sussex County are working with 35 children on 8 teams in 7 schools. And last year they gave 1,542 interventions. An intervention's about 45 to 50 minutes. So these people gave about 1,200 hours of their time to teach these children in Sussex County how to read. Now we do have some other programs, and I don't want to take up a lot of your time today, but we have programs for parents where we bring parents in, or we go to parents, and it's a 90-minute thing where we talk about how children learn to read and how they can help them at home. We train teachers. Last year, we taught 2,800 professional development units. So 2,800 people took our classes last year. These are teachers here in Delaware, Maryland, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and some as far as Louisiana. That we go to them, they request us, and we go to them. We also have a fee-based tutoring program. So if we're not in a certain school and there's a family that wants someone to come to their house and tutor their child, and they're willing to pay for it, we definitely will send them a tutor. All of our fee-based programs, all the money goes directly back into the volunteer tutor program. We do not make any kind of profit. So all of our revenue-based programs benefit the volunteer program. So I think that's about it. Where's my little notes here? Okay. Our future plans, right now we have 15 people, volunteers being trained in our Milford office. They will be ready to hit the schools in January. Eight of those are designated for Sussex County, and four of them will definitely be designated for the Cape Henlopen School District. I think it's Banneker School that we're looking to put volunteers in. We're still working with the districts. The schools love to have us because, again, we're doing something that they really can't do logistically. Not that they don't have the talent or the dedication. They just logistically can't provide these kinds of services. So in your folder, in addition to what we've just gone over, there is a copy of the Nation's Report Card for Delaware, which is the NAEP results, and you'll see on the top right-hand corner, 2009, that we do have 65% of our students are either at basic or below basic. So only 35% of our students in Delaware are proficient or above proficient in reading. I also have an article here for you, the one I just referenced about the number of students who failed to graduate from high school, 88% of them having struggled to read. So there's this article here for you to look at when you get a chance. There's also a copy of our mission and history and a copy of our board of directors. We do have one board member from Sussex County, Kate McFarland, who is a previous educator and is also at Wilmington College. We would like to have more members from Sussex County, so if you have any ideas of board members from this county, we'd love to hear about them. The request that I've put in for a community service grant was for $1,280. The tutors that we're training, will each get a copy of these materials. And this is what we're asking the money for. We're asking the money for these materials. Our program is very sequential. And the tutors, these are their, you know, be all and end all. Each tutor gets these books, and there's a copy of these books also in the school, as well as they get a set of manipulative materials because we're very multi-sensory. There are a lot of things to hold and touch and move around, so we provide those as well. To the tune of $160 per tutor. So for eight tutors, we're asking for $1,280. Our tutors are asked to serve one morning per week. I'm proud to say that in Sussex County, they do much more than that. Most of our tutors in Sussex work 2 to 3 days, mornings a week, so it's really fabulous. And they stay an average of 3.5 years. So once we train a tutor with these materials, and they have these materials, they're usually good for at least 1 year, but on the average, 3.5 years. I think that's it, unless you have any questions that I can answer about our program.
You work with public schools only?
We work with public schools predominantly. We do have, historically, way, way back when we were first starting, they worked with some parochial schools.
Parochial.
But none in Sussex County.
Mm-hmm.
There are two or three in New Castle County that we work with, but all public schools in Sussex County.
Mm-hmm.
And this program isn't that English as a second language. This is people who have, or children who have real trouble just reading. It's not a language issue.
Yes, Mr. Cole, that's a really good question because we do have some children who are dyslexic no matter what language they're in. You know, they might,
right.
You know, so people always ask us this question, you know, do you work with ESL or ELL students? And the answer is sometimes we do because they have dyslexia and they need the phonetic work, whether it's in Spanish or in English, but we don't teach in Spanish.
Okay.
We teach in English. We have a very large team in the Lewis dual language school up in Wilmington, but we teach them, you know, using our program, but we teach it in English.
Do you have a lot of Hispanic students in Sussex County that are taking this program?
That's another good question, Mrs. Deaver, and I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, okay.
I can get that information for you.
No, that's all. I was just curious because it's not an English as second language program. Okay.
No, it is not.
Yeah. Okay.
But that doesn't mean that we don't have Spanish-speaking children in the program.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Pick out 5 students out roughly out of each school, and how do you pick those 5 students?
The teachers choose them. What happens is that the teachers will identify children, nominate them for the program. Our testers then go in and test them and screen them to make sure that they actually have issues. Sometimes teachers will say, oh, Johnny's not reading. Well, Johnny's not reading because he's mad at somebody. You know, he's just a reluctant reader. It's not that he can't read, it's he's reluctant. So our testers go in and assess them and screen them to make sure that they do have the issues.
It goes back that the parents are not doing their job.
Not always, because here's a point. Mrs. Biasato, who was our founder, was an educator. She graduated in elementary education from the University of Delaware. Her husband is a businessman, very well educated, and they had this son who couldn't read, and they had a house full of books. They read to them constantly. She was very diligent, but this child couldn't learn to read because he was dyslexic. And no amount of external stimulus of that sort is going to make a difference. So you can have excellent parents and excellent at-home interactions with literature and still, you know, kids still. But that's another reason. You know, there are those cases as well where a child hasn't been exposed to writing, hasn't been exposed to the written word, and therefore it's all a mystery when he gets to elementary school. Vocabulary is very important. If a child, what they say is that if a child goes into kindergarten, he should have something like, I think it's like 10,000 words in his arsenal. And you only get that by your parents and people around you talking to you. Children of poverty often do only go in with about 4,000 words. You know, a child who's being told, sit down and be quiet, instead of being told, could you sit down for a minute? Mommy's very busy. You know, later on we'll go to the park and we'll take a nice walk. And that child will have more words than the child who's told to sit down and be quiet. So, yes, that can be the case.
I'd say most cases. I would say 90%. You just picked out one exception. I would say that would be, it's a very rare case of that ever happening. Most cases, it's just, they just don't teach them at home, and some kids don't have an interest to start with.
Yeah.
And what you've got to do is bring the interest to them. And it's strange we're spending over $12,000 on each child for a little time in school, and we still have to spend more money to have extra people come in and still teach. So it's I don't know where teaching stops. Abraham Lincoln never went
government school.
A government school, or was another word, I think. Well, actually, that's a good word. Yeah. Government school in his life, and ended up being a lawyer. Homeschooled all the way. So it's only reading little books. Some people has the ability. Some people don't have an interest, and some people want to be farmers. Some people want to be chicken catchers. Mm-hmm. We got to have them all. So
yeah.
It's not everybody. Doctors and lawyers.
How big is your annual budget?
Our annual budget is about $750,000 a year. We estimate that it costs us, our organization, about $2,500 a year per child for this program.
How much per child?
$2,500 per year per child. Now, as you'll see on our funding, where our funding comes from, we do get a stipend from the state of Delaware, because they realize that we're doing things that they can't do. That if they were to do them, and I didn't put this on here, but if the state of Delaware were to provide tutors for all of these children at the going rate of $22 an hour, it would cost over $500,000 a year just for the tutors themselves. Forget the overhead, forget the supplies, the materials, the administrative costs, anything else. So we're saving the state of Delaware about $250,000 a year. So you can see from what I gave you is that we get that much money from the state, about one-third of our budget. We get another big chunk from our revenue-based activities, our professional development classes are fee-based. Districts pay us to train their teachers. States pay us to train their teachers. Schools pay us to, and some teachers do it on their own. A lot of teachers just want the information. They want the knowledge. They want the skills. So they actually will pay out of their own pocket. One summer we had a woman who spent something like $3,000 of her own money to go through all and took every class we had so that she could be better prepared.
We have a dyslexic son, and it wasn't a matter of parents not paying attention. Believe me.
Yeah. As I said earlier, my brother's dyslexic, and he was very fortunate because this is back in, you know, the 60s, and dyslexia wasn't a big topic then. And he was very fortunate that a third grade teacher recognized his dilemma and took him under her wing and actually took him to Westchester University. We lived in Pennsylvania at the time, to get him help. But, you know, it does happen. And the research shows us that 10% of children do have this issue and do struggle to read. And if you take 10% of the children K through 3 in the state of Delaware, you're talking about 2,500 kids. We're able to work with 250 of them because it's so intensive one-on-one. You know, we just don't go in within a room of 30 kids and teach them how to read. We're working with Johnny one-on-one, or sometimes with Johnny and Susie and Tommy if they all have the same issues, and we can economize by working with two or three kids.
Where do you get those 35 students from? You said 250. Where do you get those numbers?
Where do I get the numbers?
Yeah, you said 250, and you know, on my paper, you got 35 students here in Sussex County.
In Sussex County, statewide.
Statewide,
we work with 250 kids.
Statewide, yeah.
And we're seeking to expand more in Sussex County. We have a group of people that are involved with us. We call our Sussex Expansion Committee. One of them was actually kind enough to sit down with Mrs. Deaver and me and to talk about the program. So we're very serious about getting more of our tutors trained and into Sussex County. A lot depends on our ability to recruit volunteers. You know, with the economy the way it is, a lot of people who would have time on their hands and maybe would be home are going back to work. So it is a struggle, but right now, as I said, we have 15 people being trained in Milford. 8 of them will be coming down to Sussex County.
Any more questions, Mr. Coon?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you
very much for bringing it to us.
Yeah. And thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Certainly. Mr. Baker, Administrator's Report.
Yes.
The first item is a solar panel project tracking update. 3 kiosks have now been established to track the results of the solar panels that have been installed at the county's EOC. The project was funded with federal grant funds, and energy savings are used to reduce the electric costs at the EOC. The kiosks are located on the third floor of this building in the county's EOC and the airport terminal building. Health Awareness Week. This week, county employees can participate in Sussex County Health Awareness Week, offered by the County Human Resources Department. The event began yesterday and will run through Friday, October 21st. Vendors have tables that are set up from Tuesday through Thursday in the building. Various activities will occur through the week with a goal to promote the health and safety for county employees and their families. On the last day, Friday, there will be a pre-work early morning walk beginning at the back door of this building. The walk will begin at 7:30 a.m., and also the mammography van will be on site Friday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Beneficial acceptance. Engineering Department granted beneficial acceptance to Nassau Grove Phase 2. And there's information there about the developer. This is on the intersection of Route 1 and County Road 265, part of the Westerhoven expansion of the Dewey Sewer District, consisting of 43 units. Sussex County Library Staff Development Day. Public libraries in the county, as in previous years, will be closed on Thursday, October 20th for the annual County Staff Development Day. Staff from all 14 libraries throughout the county meet at Del Tech for the day-long session and learn about a variety of topics, including e-books, virtual collections, children's programs, and public space safety. The county libraries strive to provide residents with first-rate service. To advance this mission, the County Department of Libraries provides this regular continuing education and professional staff development for the 14 libraries in Sussex County. Concurrent learning sessions are provided by area library and community leaders. All libraries will reopen at regular time on Friday, October 21st. Thank you.
Back. Any questions, Mr. Baker? Mr. Phillips.
It really just came to my attention, and it's something that you sometimes bring up, the passing of certain people. And Sam Wilson just shared with me that former State Senator Lee Littleton passed away this morning. And somebody that was very special to a lot of us. He lived in Laurel. He was 95 years old?
91.
91?
Yep.
Still still going strong until, I guess, the end.
Had a heart attack.
Lee Littleton.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, knew Lee a long time.
Thank you, Ms. Phillips.
Thank you.
Susan Webb, Pension Committee update.
Thank you. In your packet, you received the minutes.